This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio Friday, September 18th or Saturday, September 19th, depending on when you're catching the show. Excited for it to be full show Friday. No short show tonight, as the Southport game at Bloomington High School South is going to be a Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock this evening, if you're catching us Friday night, instead of the normal 6:30 time, and then the kickoff is at 7:30 p.m. So you've got a full hour with us tonight, as well as on Saturday morning. So glad you're getting the whole experience, if you will, if you're dialed in to catch the Bloomington High School South game here in just a little bit. Next week here on WGCL Radio, next Friday evening, North Putnam's going to be out at the Mustang Corral over in Ellwoodsville, and we will have that coverage as well. Joe Smith, John Callahan will have not only your Chalk Talk, but your coverage and all that for the games throughout the season. Mr. Pillar is on assignment this week, and as I mentioned earlier this morning when I was on Glass in the Morning with Glass and Julia Warren from Visit Bloomington, I don't know about this whole WGCL sick bank. I don't get this option. I don't know how Mr. Pillar is taking advantage of it, but regardless, hopefully he will be back next week. We're going to have two guys on the show next week who are old friends of the program, Mike Carter and Skip Chambers from the Monroe County History Club. They're going to be on talking about this month's event. It happens on the last Tuesday of each month around noon out at the American Legion on West 3rd Street. So Skip and Michael will be on the show next week to preview what's coming up for the Monroe County History Club this month, talk about some of the upcoming dates, just some different things that they've learned and experienced. If you haven't been part of one of the Monroe County History Club meetings, lunches, it's a free event. All you have to do is purchase your own lunch at the Legion. But they bring in all kinds of experts, people who have true knowledge and experience of Bloomington and Monroe County and how it's evolved over the years. And the numbers are growing. They're getting up in the 70s and 80s on attendance sometimes. So make sure that you check that out. I know it's not always convenient to stay for too long if you have a work obligation. Work gets in the way sometimes, I know. But if you can get out there for a little bit on the last Tuesday of the month at the American Legion, I know that Michael and Skip would appreciate it, and you'll definitely get a lot of good information out of the event as well. Tonight, however, because Mr. Pillar's out, been a little bit of a hectic week, but also because of some of the recent news about, drugs, we're going to have an encore with our interview with Indiana State Trooper Kent Rolfing. He was on the show several weeks back and talked about his role on the methamphetamine team with the Indiana State Police, and so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some other issues as well. It was a great conversation with Kent, and I think you're really going to enjoy it, so make sure that you stick around for the full hour and get that. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Make sure that you like us over there and follow us and keep up to date with what is going on. And of course, we are streaming 24/7 on WGCLradio.com. If you are out and about tonight or tomorrow, it is the Monroe County Fall Festival, and close to my heart, been out there for many years, wasn't able to participate as an MC this year, but the parade will be on Saturday at noon. It's always a fun parade, but you need to plan your travel accordingly if you are headed west out through Ellwoodsville or headed towards Spencer and beyond to Terre Haute, things like that. So make sure that you plan accordingly if you're headed out to the west side in the Fall Festival event. It is also a big weekend on the IU campus, as Julie Warren mentioned earlier this morning on Glass in the Morning. It is Freshman Family Weekend, so there's all kinds of things going on in the community. We'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. There's a lot of things that you can do if you've never been out on the IU campus, and believe me, as a native lifer here of Bloomington, Indiana, and a graduate of Indiana University, there are things that I never did when I was a student and still have never done. Take advantage of it if you can. Not only do we have Freshman Family Weekend, but it's also Home Football Weekend, all kinds of different things. So we're going to talk about that later on in the show as we keep moving forward. So we're going to take a break, come back with your forecast. We've got some local news for you, and then later on, again, Indiana State Trooper Kent Rolfing will be on the show to talk about some very important information for people in our community. Stick with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio Friday, September 18th. And full forecast for the weekend is looking a little wet tonight and tomorrow morning, but overall not too bad in the days ahead. Tonight, Friday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 a.m., partly cloudy, low around 69. Saturday morning, 30% chance of rain early in the day. So if you're headed out to the Fall Festival Parade out in Ellettsville, you should be in good shape. Partly sunny, high near 73. Then Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 50. On Sunday, sunny with a high near 72. That sounds pretty darn nice. And guess what? Monday, sunny, high near 72. Tuesday, sunny, high near 75. Wednesday, sunny, high near 78. So all your weather, all the time. And if you love that weather, stay tuned to WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Let's get you some local news here as we shift gears before we get to Indiana State Police Trooper Kent Rolfing. The Herald Times reports that one man was taken into police custody at the scene of a garage fire on Fairfax Road near Lake Monroe early Friday morning following a shooting incident south of Spencer that left one man hospitalized. The suspect was transported to the Owen County Correctional Center, and investigators are still interviewing the suspect about the Braysville Road shooting as of early this morning on Friday. An Indiana State Police trooper on Fairfax Road confirmed early on Friday that the state police were assisting with an Owen County investigation and had one man in custody, but he would not confirm that the case involved a shooting. Firemen were called out to the garage fire early in the morning. The structure was fully engulfed when they arrived, and emergency personnel arrived on the scene. Fire departments responded to the blaze, included Indian Creek, Van Buren, and Perry Clear Creek. So more on that probably next week. I mentioned that the Fall Festival is taking place out in Ellettsville right now. Friday night, there's all kinds of fun activities as you're catching this. If you aren't at the game, you can head out over to Ellettsville. You can see Sydney Piercy, Lily Meister, New Terrain. They've got all kinds of great food, booze, and carts. Then on Saturday, the parade begins at 12 o'clock noon. They're going to be shutting down both eastbound lanes, so that's coming Spencer to Ellettsville, of Highway 46, starting at 10:30 in the morning, and then they will reopen at 4 p.m. What they will do will split the two lanes of traffic on the other side, so to speak. So it will be a reroute, if you will, but traffic will still be able to get through to allow for the parade. Parade begins up at Edgewood Drive up near the high school and continues through downtown Ellettsville on Saturday. So if you are wanting a good experience, make sure that you head out to Ellettsville and check out all the fun there. A former Indiana University student faces two felony charges of rape in connection with the assaults of two different women, one in April during a fraternity party and another in October 2013 before a fraternity sorority dance. According to the Herald Times, John Philip Enix of Downers Grove, Illinois, turned himself into the Monroe County Jail last Friday and was released later on in the day after posting a $20,000 surety, $500 cash bond. He studies business, according to LinkedIn, and is a member of the Delta Tau Delta fraternity. According to this incident from the newspaper, back in 2013, a woman claimed to have blacked out and then was assaulted. Then there was the event that took place in April of this year with similar circumstances. Investigators reviewed video surveillance footage from the fraternity, and the footage shows Enix leading the woman, the victim, down the first floor hallway, trying a door handle on one door, then entering a room on the opposite side of the hall. More to come on this. His next appearance in court will be on November 10th. The Devil's Triangle. Have you heard of that in Bloomington? It's that beautiful area that can be a little bit of a traffic nightmare down near South Walnut Street, East Winslow Road, and South Henderson Street. Well, there's a proposed apartment complex that would add 220 bedrooms to that neighborhood, and it has been approved. According to the Herald Times, after HM Max proposal for an apartment complex at 2780 South Walnut Street Pike was initially met with mixed reactions, the petitioners revised their approach for presentation on Monday this week at the Bloomington Planning Commission meeting in City Hall. They've done a lighting study, a plan showing trees, traffic study, all kinds of different things, and increased the number of apartments from 143 to 148, but still 220 bedrooms in that. So it looks like this is going to be a goal or a go with everything. Commission member Pat Williams cast the only dissenting vote, who said, quote, "I feel we have a responsibility and perhaps we have a right to an opinion, whether it's approving or disproving, but the traffic concerns are a dominant issue in that area." Bloomington is also going to be seeing a new assisted living facility as well. Evergreen Partners, a real estate development company headquartered in Scarborough, Maine, requested and won approval in a 9-0 vote with the Bloomington City Council for changes to the allowed land uses in part of planned unit development off South Sayre Road near Steeplechase Apartments. This is going to be a 115-unit assisted living facility to be known as Canada Farms Assisted Living Facility. This is changes will allow the facility to be 3 stories in front and have additional parking than the original plan. The assisted living facility will be aimed at people age 62 or older with an income at 60% or less of the area median income. Look for this to start building very soon, and I think I saw a target date of 2017 for that to be open, but don't hold me to that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Indiana State Police Trooper Kent Rolfing in an encore interview here on the Bloomington Review. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Menman here and David Pillar with you. And excited to have a first-time guest here on the show here this evening, or if you're catching us Saturday morning, you're waking up with us as well. Great to have you on board. Trooper Kent Rolfing is with us tonight. He's with the Indiana State Police Department, and he is part of the methamphetamine suppression section with them. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on board, although it's not a fun topic, obviously. I'm sure this isn't... I don't know if this is what you dreamed of when you were a little kid of being.
Well, it's the world we live in now, and I enjoy what I do. So,
well, talk about what you do. What does your position entail?
I'm a trooper out of the Bloomington Post, and I'm currently assigned to the methamphetamine suppression section. Myself and two other troopers are assigned to a meth team out of the Bloomington Post. The area we cover is Monroe County, and then all the counties that touch Monroe County. So there's a total of 6 counties.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when someone says they're part of the methamphetamine suppression section, all that means is they are certified by the DEA and OSHA in the identity process and cleanup of clandestine methamphetamine laboratories. We also deal with numerous other narcotics, including marijuana, heroin, your spice, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But our big forte is the methamphetamine.
And how long have you been in this role?
This will be my third full year being part of this section.
Okay.
Well, Kent, with meth being kind of in the news quite a bit, Breaking Bad, of course, was a huge TV show that kind of dealt with that. But overall, what's Indiana's drug culture and drug situation, and where does meth rank amongst all those?
Well, actually, the state of Indiana has actually led the country in meth lab seizures, I believe, the past 2 years, possibly the last 3 years. Meth is probably the biggest drug, definitely in our area, I would say in the entire state of Indiana. You can either make it, or right now what we are seeing in is a transition from people making and manufacturing the methamphetamine and starting with the crystal methamphetamine, which is basically comes from Mexico, and it's made by the Mexican cartel.
So maybe that's a double-edged sword. We're leading the country in meth, basically the meth lab bust. So that's good and that's bad, right? It's good because we're busting them. It's bad because there's a perception that there's maybe a lot here. And is that the case, that there are more here than there are other places, or just we're on it?
No, I don't believe that there's more here in the state of Indiana. I just believe that the state police and other agencies have realized that meth is a problem in our state, and we've concentrated a lot of our efforts just to stop the meth problem. And meth is everywhere in the country. In Midwest, it's very heavy. But I believe, just with us here in the state of Indiana, we've combated this problem, and we're trying to tackle it as best as we can.
Is there a demographic that meth tends to follow? Is it young kids, older folks, people, affluent people with more money, or is it just it can be for anybody?
I've seen everything. I've been a part of a meth lab where a 13-year-old kid was manufacturing meth. I've been a part of a meth lab where a 95-year-old man was manufacturing using. It doesn't really matter. Once you get on it, you're basically in the ball game.
Wow.
Well, a couple people, you know, if you watch a couple episodes of Breaking Bad, you think you know all about it. But can you tell us a little bit about really what is meth? What's it made up of, and all of those maybe myths that go along with it, and how maybe it's made and what goes into it?
I've always heard the battery acid thing, and I always wondered, yeah, why would you put that junk in your veins?
Yeah, and a lot of people think the battery acid, you know, before I was basically trained to do what I'm doing right now, I was in that same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, meth is a powerful, highly addictive stimulant that affects the central nervous system. That's basically the technical term, what mm-hmm. meth is. In our area, that people manufacture meth, the biggest way we see is called the one-pot method. And basically what that means is you can take a Gatorade bottle, a two-liter Coke bottle, a water bottle, and put a couple ingredients in it. Let the reaction take place, and eventually you have meth. And you can go to your local stores that you see everywhere in town and buy all those ingredients needed just to manufacture the meth.
Is meth a liquid? Is it an injectable? Is it a powder? What's the form?
Well, if you manufacture it using the one-pot method, it'll come out into a powder form. And then to use it, you can break it down in a liquid form.
Mm-hmm.
It can be used in the powder form. The crystal methamphetamine is basically like if you take a Jolly Rancher, smash it with a hammer, and break it up, and that's what it looks like. and it comes clear. I know in Breaking Bad they made the blue meth and the red meth. I've actually just saw some red meth the other day.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know how they did that. I don't know if it was food coloring or how they did that. But normally it's clear. It looks clear, the crystal meth is.
Wow. So someone's on meth. What kind of physical symptoms are they showing that you could you tell if you saw someone on the street? Or, I mean, you've been around it now for a couple of years. What are you looking for?
Yeah, I can honestly walk around and I can tell if someone is using meth. Obviously, the people that have been using it a lot longer are more easy to spot out. But just a few things that I see, just warning signs, are extreme weight loss. You know, using meth suppresses your appetite. So extreme weight loss. There's a thing called meth mouth, where if someone uses meth enough, it'll basically rot out their teeth and mm-hmm. deteriorate their teeth. A person has high energy. They can't sit still. They're constantly fidgeting. We call that tweaking, where they basically just can't sit still. It's like they've drank 10 Monster Energy drinks and just cannot sit still.
Well, Kent Rolfing's our guest today. Kent's from the Metamphetamine Suppression Section. You have to say that every time you go into a room?
Yes,
it takes a lot of work, I bet. Indiana State Police, really glad to have him with us. And so what's an addiction like? Do people do this and then are hooked, or is this something they get into or can get out of, or how does that work?
Yes, it's highly addictive. we were taught by the DEA, basically once you do it once, you're hooked onto it. I believe between 87% to 91% of the population, once they use it once, they are hooked, and they struggle the rest of their lives to get off the
That's scary. Meth.
We haven't talked about marijuana yet, but I know that there are all these different levels of marijuana, the intensities, and I don't know if you call them even flavors kind of thing. Is it the same thing with meth? Can there be different levels? Because, I mean, I would imagine that once you're hooked, you're going to need more, and you're going to need stronger. Does that happen as well with all this?
Yes. Once you use it for the first time, it basically releases all the dopamine in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you get probably the best high and best feeling you've ever had in your entire life. Well, the problem with the meth is it basically destroys your dopamine cells. So once you use it for the first time and constantly use, your dopamine cells get destroyed, and you're always chasing that very first high. So you are right. The longer you use, the more you need through mm-hmm. you know, a period of time. And in the state of Indiana, there is levels of, you know, for possession, for example, depending on how much you have, the level of the felony goes up and the time that you have to serve or fines, et cetera.
How do you test somebody if they're using meth? Is it a blood test, urine test, all the above?
Yeah, to actually physically test a person to see if meth's in their body, you have to do a blood or a urine sample. One thing that we use is in OWIs, if a police officer has probable cause to believe that they're under the influence, they'll go through their steps that they need to do, and they'll request a blood test, and it's done at the local hospitals. And that blood is taken, and then it's sipped off to the labs, and then they will identify what's in their blood. But for me, when I deal with someone in my day-to-day job, you know, we're not testing people to see if they're on meth. We're just mm-hmm. making sure if it's in their possession, if they're manufacturing, if they're dealing.
Wow.
And yeah. meth is not a new drug.
No, that,
you were telling us before the break. I didn't know the history, the connection to World War II, even.
Yes, back in the early days of World War II, it was given to the kamikaze pilots to carry out the missions, and it's been around that long of time.
My wow. gosh!
And so you talked a little bit about the dealer part of that. Are people making it here locally, or is it coming in from other places? Are you seeing a mix? How's that work?
Yeah, I see a mix. The people that basically manufacture the meth. Basically, to manufacture meth, the one ingredient that you absolutely have to have is the pseudoephedrine. That's why when you go to your local pharmacies, you have to present your ID. You can only buy so much. You have to have the pseudoephedrine. The state of Indiana regulates the amount of pseudoephedrine you can have. So, for example, if you buy 3 grams of pseudoephedrine and you're a good meth cook, you may get to little less than 2.5 grams of methamphetamine to use. That's not very much. A person that's using meth for a long time, they can go through that pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the crystal meth that we talked about, and that's the Breaking Bad type of meth, that is shipped in. That can't be made in the U.S.
And why can't it? I mean, is it just the chemicals themselves?
Yeah, or? The type of chemicals that you need to, like I said, the pseudoephedrine, you got to have the pseudoephedrine.
Right.
You know, our federal regulations regulate all that stuff, and the certain type of chemicals are regulated by the feds, so we can't make that much meth in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, it's not regulated, so that's basically why it's made in Mexico. It's ran by the cartel, and they're in it for the money.
Yeah. What's the money value of that? Now, as you say, so if the guy goes and he gets those 3 boxes of Sudafed from the store, makes that into 2.5 grams of meth, what's the value of that?
Basically, it runs anywhere from 1 gram of meth run from $80 to about $110.
Hmm.
Now, the more you buy, you actually get a little bit better deal on it.
Bulk discount,
yeah, the
right?
Bulk discount.
Sam's Club,
kind of like coffee beans.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to get a discount.
Right.
But you know, if you're going to buy a gram, I've seen it as high as 120, and you know, low as 80, 70 bucks.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Kent Rolfing. He is a trooper with the Indiana State Police Department in the methamphetamine suppression section. I rattled that one off,
yeah,
Mr.
I'm impressed. I have it phonetically on my sheet here, so if I ever try to say it again, I can get it. But I'm going to leave it to you now that you've proven that.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk more about drug use in Monroe County across southern Indiana. We'll continue with meth, but also we'll talk about heroin, some of these designer drugs like spice and bath salts, these different things that you see on, you know, local news and social media and all this other stuff. What exactly are they? Well, we'll hear that from Officer Rolfling here in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman, David Piller, and Trooper Kent Rolfling is here in the studio with us. We're talking about I didn't say it right, did I?
It's okay.
Rolfing.
Been called worse.
No. I got to turn your mic up. I had the wrong one up. Rolfing. I'll get it right here. Okay. So we talked about meth in the last segment, but let's switch gears a little bit because there's these other narcotics out there. I've heard things about bath salts and spice and things connected to e-cigarettes. And, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Talk a little bit about I know you're in the meth area specifically, but what else can you share about these kind of things?
Yeah, obviously meth's my forte, but obviously the bath salts and the spice, we call them synthetic drugs, is basically the mm-hmm. easiest way to lump them into one group. They've been around for a few years now. I tell you, I've dealt with close to 2,000 people that were extremely high on meth, and I've dealt with 2 people that I know that were high on the synthetics, and they were the most paranoia people I've ever dealt with in my career.
I mean, like completely out of their mind kind of thing.
Completely out of their mind. I mean, talking about like airplanes, you know, 747 Boeings flying into downtown Indianapolis on a clear day, and they thought that plane had been following them all day long. You know, just paranoia is just unbelievable. And it's very dangerous for, you know, law enforcement and, you know, the general public when people are, you know, that paranoid.
And this may be a stupid question, but I think I know the answer. The bath salts aren't the stuff that grandma puts in the tub.
No, they're
I mean, some people might think that is.
They do think that. No, they're not the bath salts that you put into the tub. And, you know, the first time I've ever dealt with it, you know, we had some training on it because basically how drug fads work for us is it seems like out west, California area, for example, they get the new drug, and it kind of just moves east across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was coming in that we were this new thing called bath salts, and spice is this new thing, and we got a little bit of training on it, but we hadn't ever dealt with it. And I've got a call back in the day when I was working the road that there was someone that wanted to harm himself and others and went and dealt with it, and I finally realized once I got to the hospital by the doctor at the hospital, the mental health specialist, that this guy was high on bath salts. And that was her third case that she had seen, my first case. And that was 4.5 years ago. And mm-hmm. it's been around. And the problem with the bath salts, and especially the spice, is the people that make it, they change the chemical compound almost, you know, monthly, yearly, you know, very in a small amount of time, that it's hard for us as law enforcement. I explained to you earlier, you know, our canine dogs, we can't train our canines because they change the chemical compound on mm-hmm. it so often, and it's just hard to pick up. And, you know, a lot of the people that are using this stuff put it in the e-cigs, and, you know, people, you know, younger kids that are in school, you know, go to parties and they think they're smoking, you know, this tobacco where it could be laced mm-hmm. with these other things, and it's caused a lot of overdoses in the state of Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah. That and addiction then, right?
I mean,
that's ultimately
yes.
the goal, right?
Yes.
So doesn't it make you wonder what's next?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of scary.
It is scary, and we think about this a lot. You know, I think, like you said, one small change to a chemical compound, next thing you know, you've got something else. You've got a brand-new set of addictions, a brand-new set of potential clients for the folks that are dealing with stuff. But you're talking about something else that's so readily available. You talked about being able to go to the department store, the hardware store, the drug store, and pick up things you need to make this. What about prescription drugs? And are you guys seeing a lot of that? And what can you tell people about how to take care of their prescription drugs?
Yeah, there's a lot of people we deal with that prescription drugs is their choice of drug. You know, and that's something that, unfortunately, if, you know, someone has an injury and they get prescribed something, you know, and they get through their injury, you know, they might have some few extra pills, mm-hmm. for example, Vicodin, and mm. you can sell that on the streets to people that are addicted to it and make some money off of it. And, you know, that's kind of where the problem starts, is just it's readily available and people can go in, fill their scripts up and sell it to people that are addicted to it. And, you know, my biggest thing is if you're concerned, whether it's maybe a family member, a friend, that has access to your house, or maybe even someone that doesn't have access to your house and makes entry or breaks in, you know, try to lock your stuff up best as possible.
Right.
You know, most people keep it in the medicine cabinet in the kitchen, but, you know, unfortunately these day and age, you've got to kind of maybe strategically hide that or lock it up in a safe, and especially if you have children at home.
Sure.
You know, they get into these things, and you don't want that to happen.
So what should people do when they've run the course of their prescription, or they've used the time but they still have leftover pills?
We actually, I believe it's once a year, maybe twice a year, we have a drug take-back program. And what we do is we open the doors to the Bloomington State Police Post, and then they can bring their extra pills in, and we'll take them off their hands, no questions asked, and they'll be destroyed in the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just sitting around the house for who knows how long.
Actually, I did that when my grandfather passed away. He was on some different meds, and my grandma said, get it out. I don't want it around, anything like that. And
yeah, we see that a lot where, you know,
older people pass away.
Yeah, a family member passes away, and they have 1,000 bottles in their medicine cabinet. And, you know, instead of just throwing them in the garbage can where possibly somebody can actually get their hands on them, it's best to do it, you know, take it to the drug back.
Don't flush them down the toilet.
I was just going to say, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but I've heard that some of that stuff can't really be processed and cleansed through water if you do flush it down the toilet or down the garbage disposal or whatever.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't know how we destroy it. I just know we have the program. And
no questions asked.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Not at all.
But can't people get involved in this stuff? What are rehab options? Obviously, the criminal justice system might prescribe some things, but where do people look to get help in these situations?
Yeah, I you know, I just Googled on Google search, and there I know that there's at least 10 places just here in Monroe County where there's rehab centers that people can go and get help. There was numerous places that popped up in the state of Indiana. You know, mm-hmm. Indianapolis has a ton of places, and we're just a short ways away. You know, there's places all over the country. You see it on, you know, the news and TV all the time. You know, if people, the thing is people want to get help. They've got to be the ones that want to get the
sure.
help. That's my biggest thing. I've seen that, you know, people tell me that they want to get clean and they want to kick this habit, but unfortunately they don't get away from the people that they're constantly doing things with, and they get right back in that scene and they just cannot get away.
Right.
They can't get away from the drug. The addiction is just too strong.
Okay, and let's talk about heroin now. What's heroin like in Bloomington and across southern Indiana? Is that another big thing, or is it kind of phased out as well?
No, heroin is it's actually made we say it makes a comeback. You know, and it's only been in the last year and a half, 2 years that we've really seen the heroin come back. And that's the two biggest drugs I see, meth and heroin. Because your meth users use the heroin to come down off the meth, and then they'll use meth to come up off the heroin, because the heroin's a downer, meth's an upper. And it's a vicious cycle that people are using. But, you know, there is a lot of people in this county and other counties around us that are hooked on heroin, and it's an awful drug.
Man.
And with all this, are people becoming numb to marijuana at this point?
Yeah, and I see it. You know, there's been numerous times I've made, you know, large amounts of large pounds of marijuana seizures. But, you know, the people that I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis, I'm dealing with the guys and gals that are using meth and heroin. But the marijuana is still around. It always will be. It's not going anywhere either.
What's the latest on Indiana law on marijuana? Are we allowed yet, or not allowed, or where do we stand?
Nope. It's there is no there's no medical purpose for marijuana in the state of Indiana. I honestly believe we'll be one of the last states in the country to legalize it, if we ever do legalize it.
Probably.
But yeah, it's you know, it has no purpose, and you know, in the state of Indiana, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So,
okay, what should somebody do if they think somebody that they work with, somebody in their family, some kid that they know, whatever? What if they think they're on something, and maybe not right this second kind of thing, like you witness an accident, but just they've got the vibe or something. What do they do?
Yeah, if someone feels that there's something going on, something, you know, their neighbor or a family member or a friend, you know, there's suspicious activity, you know, they're showing some warning signs of some drug use, please, please, please call the Bloomington State Police Post. You'll either get a receptionist or another trooper. You know, you can remain anonymous. That's the biggest thing, anonymous.
Really?
I have numerous people in my personal cell phone that I don't even know their real name. I just got them labeled as something else so I can remind myself of who I'm actually talking to, and I have no clue who they are. The only thing I know is they're a female or a male. That's it. And they will remain anonymous. They'll never be brought into the courtroom because they're anonymous to me. And, yeah, you can call and give us any information that you want to give us. That's the biggest help for us these days, is people calling in and giving us tips.
Mm-hmm.
Because with this heroin and the crystal methamphetamine, you know, we just can't, you know, sit out on the side of the road and hopefully we know it's going by in a vehicle. We got to have some help, and it comes from the general public.
Is most of the tracking through these conversations, as opposed to things like, excuse me, email, Facebook? I mean, I can't really imagine somebody putting on their Facebook page, come buy a dime bag. I mean, I don't know the terms. I'm stupid. But, you know, I mean, whatever you buy. But, I mean, is it pretty much through face-to-face interaction?
A lot of texting. I mean, the texting is the new way to communicate, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why cell phones are very important to us when we do search warrants and seizures and whatnot, because people that are dealing and using, they communicate through their cell phones, and there's a lot of information that's on there that we could use in the state's in defense and in court. But yes, Facebook is used a lot, social media. Not too many people email, unless I'm just haven't seen that yet, but you know, cell phones and social media is the biggest things. And there is face-to-face dealings that go on. Mm-hmm. But mostly, you know, it's through the social media and telephones.
Well, that's bad stuff, but we've got good guys chasing it. So,
yeah.
Kent, thanks very much. It's an awesome job.
Yeah, the Bloomington State Police phone number is 812-332-4411. And then you can look us up on the internet. Just Google Indiana State Police, and there's a couple on the main webpage. There's a place where you can go and leave information. And then on Facebook, you can track us down on Facebook. And like I said, you can remain anonymous.
And for those who remember the old post out on the east side of town, where is the post now?
Well, it's under construction.
Yeah, you can't get to it. You got a paratrooper in, right?
Yeah, okay. It's with 69 going through our area. It's actually at the it's off Packing House Road, okay. Which is just off Vernal, which is right off 37. Now that they've cleared a few trees, if you're northbound of right by Vernal, you can look to your left and you can almost see us down there.
Yeah.
We're tucked away in a little corner back there, and I don't know, with 69 going through, I'm not sure how they're gonna how we're gonna get out on the roads right now. We're in a detour like everybody else. So
tell me about it.
Well, again, Kent Rolfing's been our guest, trooper with Indiana State Police. Excellent job. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be back in just a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Just a few minutes left in the show, so we're going to rush through a few things here in sports before we wrap up tonight. Reds coverage. Tonight, they are playing at Milwaukee at 8:10, but we're going to have high school football. Tomorrow, 7:10 here on WGCL for that game. Then next week, St. Louis, three-game series there. The Reds are going to be out in St. Louis, 8:15 for the first pitch for those games on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Then just a couple of games left on the 26th. Cubs welcome the New York Mets. Then two more games with these Chicago Cubs, the 29th and 30th over in Cincinnati. Final game for the Reds is at Pittsburgh on October 3rd. All of this is available at WGCLradio.com under the sports section. In just a few minutes, if you're catching us Friday night, we've got high school football here on the station. Southport at Bloomington High School South tonight. Joe Smith will have Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock, and then Joe and John Callahan will have the coverage of the game tonight. Edgewood is playing at Sullivan tonight, and Bloomington High School North is welcoming Terre Haute North as well to the north side of Bloomington. Did you catch the Broncos-Chiefs game on Thursday evening? Crazy way to wrap up the game. Denver cornerback Bradley Roby returned Jamal Charles' second fumble, 21 yards, for a touchdown with 27 seconds left, completing a stunning comeback in the closing minute for a 31-24 victory, the Broncos' seventh straight over their AFC West rivals. Manning threw for 256 yards, three scores, the last to Emmanuel Sanders with 36 seconds left as the Broncos appeared to force overtime. But on the next play from scrimmage with the Chiefs, also eyeing overtime, Charles was stripped by Brandon Marshall, and the ball bounced right into Roby's hands. Dramatic about-face came after Davis gave Kansas City the lead with 2.5 minutes left on an 8-yard run. But instead, Denver won its 13th straight road game, breaking a tie with the San Francisco 49ers back in 87-90. So Peyton Manning, yeah, there's been some talk of his future and what's going to be happening, but the guy's still got some talent. You can't knock him out just yet. Speaking of talent, Colts have Monday Night Football coming up on this coming Monday with the New York Jets, 8:30 kick for that. We'll have that here on WGCL. Then the next game with the Colts is Sunday, September 27th, when they go to, Tennessee Titans. They're coming to Indianapolis for that game. Of course, all of your Colts action, we've got a great primetime NFL platform here for WGCL. Sunday games when the Colts aren't playing, everything's available at WGCLradio.com. All these stats, the games that we're going to have covered and everything like that. So check that out. Speaking of football also, we've got the IU football game on Saturday. I believe that's a 4 o'clock kick, but I'll check here in just a second. Fred Glass and Joe Smith talked earlier this week, and I think this is a great thing to share. They are doing text alerts now for people who are coming to the games. Make sure that you check this out. If you text IUFB, IU football, to the number 313131. That's simple. IUFB to 313131. Fred Glass is going to be sending out text messages and alerts about what is going on with traffic concerns as there is the Highway 37 construction, as there is the construction taking place at Assembly Hall, all of that. So make sure that you check that out. And it is a 4 o'clock kick with Western Kentucky on Saturday. Other than that, keep up with your local sports on your high school scene, and we'll have more hopefully next week if we get a little bit more time, but I've got to cut short because we have to wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks again to Indiana State Trooper Kent Rolfing for joining us yet again. And all the information will be at facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview. We'll also put it up on our podcast page at wgclradio.com. You've got a nice forecast for the weekend. Friday night tonight, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 a.m., partly cloudy, low around 69. On Saturday, out at the Fall Festival, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, but a high near 73. Then on Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low around 50. Then Sunday, sunny with a high near 72. And Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's pretty much all the same. Sunny, highs in the mid to upper 70s. Perfect fall weather. Get out and enjoy it. Of course, all your weather all the time, WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Just a couple of minutes left to tell you about some things going on here in Bloomington and Monroe County. Of course, the Monroe County Fall Festival, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And that goes until Saturday late in the evening, so check that out. If you want to go out and have a little bit of fun tonight, Friday night, the Movies in the Park, Beetlejuice from 1988. This is taking place at Butler Park, according to our friends at Visit Bloomington. That is going to start at dusk, I believe. So around 7:45, 8 o'clock, be there by then to check that out. Of course, the Western Kentucky game out at Memorial Stadium, that is going to be a 4 o'clock kick there. Then on Sunday, if you had the chance to do it, make sure you take advantage of it. IU Auditorium welcomes Tony Bennett. He's 89 years old. The man is musical history. And what an experience to actually see the guy in a great venue like the IU Auditorium. So check out Tony Bennett if you can still get tickets, iuauditorium.com or 855-1103. And then Open Streets Bloomington, this is going to be going on from 12 till 5 out on 4th Street from Madison to Fairview Streets. It's a chance to meet Bloomington community members, walk, play games in the neighborhood, meet new vendors, just all kinds of things. And again, this is going to be Open Streets Bloomington out on 4th Street from Madison to Fairview, 12 to 5 on Sunday. All of this information, visit Bloomington.com. Make sure that you check it out. Just a few seconds left. Don't forget, next week, Michael Carter and Skip Chambers from the Monroe County History Club will be in talking about their monthly club visits and the just a great experience. Make sure that you check out our show next week. And of course, everything's available at WGCLRadio.com. Have a great week. Hopefully Mr. Pillar will be back as well, and we will talk to you soon. And we're now Friday night going into some high school football or Your Money with David Hayes next here on WGCL. Bye-bye, everybody.